prayer. God, please lay aside everything I think I know about addiction, alcoholism,
the big book, the 12 steps, this workshop, myself, and especially you, God, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things. Help me see the truth. Amen.
This one's called Clarity. Can you see a sound? Can you hear a light? Can you unite your senses? Can you turn inward? What we are all seeking is clarity. Forget about religious rationalizations. Forget about elaborate explorations. What we all want is clarity. What we abhor is ignorance. Ignorance confuses us, brings us misfortune and sorrow, and makes us miserable. If we have clarity, then we can live with equanimity. It is a misconception that spirituality brings everlasting happiness. There is no such thing. Sadness still comes to the wise. But unlike most people, their clarity of mind allows them to see beyond the temporal emotionalism of the moment. They are far-seeing, and so happiness and sorrow become the same to them. True clarity is more than just being smart, more than just being wise. Clarity manifests from meditation. It comes when you can unite all the faculties of the mind and unify them into a magnificent light of perception. It is hard to talk of this in anything but mystical terms. Our language is unfamiliar with the frontiers of the spirit because few have ever seen those limits, let alone describe them. But let's try. If you unite sound with vision, then you will create light. That light is the concentrated force of the mind. But it is by that brightness that the truth is revealed.
So the first 9 steps are the launching pad into the world of the spirit. That new world has its own language, and it's the language of the heart. And I don't have much experience with that language when I first get here. So it's imperative that I commence my practice with the 10th and 11th step. I believe that the 10th and 11th step are where the juice is in this program. And as I said earlier this weekend, the 12th step is where we find the jewel of the program. But there's something about these 2 steps. My sponsor, we have a sponsorship family meeting every Thursday night, and we started it when the pandemic hit, and it's all the men and women that my sponsor sponsors, and we meet on Zoom. And a couple of months ago, he went around and he asked each of us, you know, and again, the answer to this question depends upon where you are in your journey. Because at different times in my journey, I would hang my head on a different step. And he asked me, and before he asked, he said, Tarek, I know the answer to this question. And he asked the question, what step do you hang your hat on? If it's the one that really stands you in good stead as it relates to this program. And a part of me wanted to say step 12, because I've been an active 12-stepper since I was 4 months clean and sober. But I had to hang my hat on the combination of steps 10 and 11. I have a hard time talking about one without talking about the other. One of the things I love about my current sponsor is that, yes, he's my mentor and he's my teacher and he's taught me, he's allowed me to become, he's shown me how to become more gentle in how I carry the message. You guys would have got a different Tarek 5 or 6 years ago. Much more fire and brimstone than you're getting this weekend. He picks my brain sometimes about the spiritual practices. One of the things I love about the 10th step is the 10th step allows you to combine meditation, prayer, and self-examination, all rolled up into one step. Now, the first time I went through the steps, I was taught that step 10 was a way to do steps 4 through 9 real quick in the middle of the day if you need to. No downside to looking at it that way. But the big book says we've now entered the world of the Spirit, and our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Well, I believe that's understanding the spiritual realm and being effective in the human realm. We're all going to struggle. We're all going to experience the limitations of being human, and each of us are going to experience that in a unique way to each individual. But continuing to watch, and like now I replace that word, continue to witness. I love the word witness. There's just something about it that's just more, resonates deeply with me. I witness and I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So yesterday we left our apartment to come here. And I was in the middle of a conversation with Brandon and Tony as we were walking out the door, and I get in the car and I'm driving, and I realize that I have forgotten to lock the door at the apartment, you know, and we've got some valuable possessions in there, and I call Newly, and I'm like, did you leave before me or after me? And she goes, I left before you. So immediately I know that this door is not locked to our apartment. And I'm driving and I'm struggling because the OCD, Tarek, there are times where I'm like 10 minutes down the road and I get this thought that I left like a stovetop on or I left the oven on when I didn't. But it's still that same obsessive thing that I have. And I'll turn around and drive 10 minutes to go back inside just to find that I didn't leave anything on. But this, yesterday was quite different. Yesterday, it was almost like this thing started working on its own. As soon as I hung up the phone and I took a deep breath and I acknowledged the presence of God in my breath and I became okay. Like there was a part of me, I saw the thought of, if something bad happens, that's what's supposed to happen, but you're safe and protected, so just keep moving. That's an active tenth step. Watch, witness these things in yourself, the fears, the resentments, the selfish attitude, the self-seeking behavior that you're about to engage in, and then immediately turn to prayer. Well, there's a part of the tenth step called discuss immediately. Well, that's the last thing I do. I want to go through these practices. Unless it's on me really quick, will I jump the process and call first? Because calling all the time places dependence upon something other than God. And so we ask God at once. Doesn't mean he's going to remove it. We just have to rely on our relationship with God. And then we turn. We turn back. The big book says we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Over the years, I've used that practice. But now it's just turn back to the present. Turn back to now. And then we attempt to practice our code of love and tolerance as we engage life and we stop fighting. Cease fighting anything or anyone, even drugs and alcohol, for by this time our sanity has returned. That's a tenth step. That's how you pray. The tenth step is about staying awake, staying present. And it is how we develop or cultivate. There's two ways to cultivate the expectancy of God's presence. Now, that's straight out of the big book. The consciousness of the presence of God. It's in We Agnostics. I didn't make this up. Doesn't say anything about connecting and being disconnected. We can never be disconnected from God. Not possible. Your life will be filled with utter anxiety if you're flipping back and forth between disconnect and connect. I'm either present to the his presence or her presence or its presence, or I'm not. So the 10th step is what allows me, one of the two tools I use to cultivate the expectancy of God's presence in my life. So for years, I went through that entire watch, ask, turn, stop fighting. Watch, ask, turn, stop fighting. And now it's just being my breathing. I imagine, because the imagination is required in spiritual practice, I imagine that God is breathing through me. It's the same feature that animates my body. So when I pass on and transition to whatever's after this, that breath is gone. The spirit is gone. And God has transitioned and morphed into something else in my way of looking at things. But in my breath, when I acknowledge the presence of God, it brings me immediately grounded into the present moment. And that, guys, this is one of the most difficult practices you can try to implement. It is by far the hardest practice there is when it comes to spiritual practice, being present using this 10th step. I'm going to give you an example. So 2 weeks ago, I work in the logistics industry, like everybody else in recovery in this damn town. And I don't even know what word I want to use right now to describe what I think it is. It's not a very pleasant environment to work in at times, very high stress. And so one of the things, I owned my own businesses for 6 years, so I built my life around my spiritual life. I could do the practices when I wanted to do them. Everything was, typically when I had my recovery program, I structured everything around my spiritual life. When I owned my vape shop, I structured everything around my spiritual life, and it was very fluid. But the logistics industry is not that. And you're constantly being demanded, and there's, it's just money, and I don't give a shit about money, but I got to have it, unfortunately, in this world, and you got to have a livelihood, and you got to take care of your family, and it affords me the opportunities to do the things I love to do. It's just a paycheck in my world, to allow me to do the things I love to do, which is spiritual practices and show people what's possible using these 12 steps. Those are the things I love to do. So I played I did the experience. I did this 8 or 9 years ago. I put my alarm to go off every hour on the hour. I get to work around 6:45, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, and 4 o'clock. That phone went off. It was a reminder to acknowledge my breath in the presence of God. And what saddened me immensely the first day I did it, I saw how much I was being pulled by this egoic mind system of money and get freight and move freight and lie to your customers and do all this fucking bullshit that has nothing to do with what life is really about. And I was saddened, man. I could feel it in my chest and my heart. Because I wasn't present to the presence of God, I was just consumed with this egoic mind structure of make money, make money, and make money. And that's the way I'm experiencing it. There are other people that may work in the industry that are sitting in this room, they experience it in a different way. This is just my own personal experience. Now, it does afford me an opportunity to provide for my family, and I work with some amazing people, and it's a really good organization. And that helps balance things out. But my life is about experiencing the presence of God. That's what it has become about. Right? One of the things I've realized, I'm not going to get to talk about step 11. One of the things I've realized is that very few people in our fellowships get here, stay here, and die here. My theory about that is at some point in your path, this has to become about your relationship with God. Now, there's a lot of people. This guy I was taking through the steps a couple months ago, he's like, for years I've been a part of the Get It Back crowd, right? We're all hot and heavy about everything that has to do with the spiritual realm until we get everything back. And then we get everything back, and let me take the reins over again. But for me, I've been the grace of God has operated in my life, and my life is centered on this kind of stuff and practices. And the 11th step, in the morning, I want to briefly touch on this. Devotion is a large part of what I do. So like when I got up this morning, Tony was on the couch. So my prayer, my meditation books, my sage, all my stuff's out there. I have a little altar in my bedroom. And this morning I woke up and I sat up on the side of my bed after I brushed my teeth and I sat. And I do this every morning. I ask myself two questions. You know, because I didn't have access to my books, but I could pray and I could meditate. And I sat for a few minutes and I asked myself, do I know why I'm about to pray and meditate? Do I have knowledge? And I just wait and I just sit and I just wait to see what comes out of my, what emerges in my consciousness. And after I do that for like 2 minutes, I ask myself another question. Is my heart present in what I'm about to do? Is it sincere, this effort? Or has it become habitual? It's a habit and it's a ritual now. And I do it because I have to check off a box before I can get to my day. And I sat there, and then the prayer started, and then I sat in silence. And those are important things that I must practice. Mark used to say that if you're not meditating, you're not sitting with God, you will not experience God, you will never have the possibility of knowing God. I don't know if you can ever really know God. I don't believe so. But Mark disturbed me the first time I heard him say that, because I was meditating for like 5 minutes at the time. And then I went to this, you know, I was struggling and learning how to meditate. So I went to this, I called my sponsor, Scott, at the time. And this is one of the best things he did for me. He pointed me to a line. The reason we have all these books up here is because we are quick to see where religious people are right, and we make use of what they offer. And so Scott said, Tarek, if you want to learn about meditation, I suggest you go to the Buddhists. They've been doing it for 2,500 years. Go figure. Okay, I'll go do that. So I'm walking my dog. I'd moved back into my parents at this time. Remember, I'm about a year and 10 months, 11 months at this point. Scott's become my sponsor. I'm walking down the road. And so all these years I've lived with, you know, where I grew up, there was always this wall on our road that had a bunch of Chinese writing. And then a building that set off way in the back. Been there the whole time. And so I'm walking my dog, and they had hung out a banner on the wall that said free meditation classes. I was like, you can't script this stuff. And so I went on Saturday, and I found out they offer spring and fall courses. And I went, and the very first session, the Shifu, who's the nun in the monastery, this is all Chinese Zen. She walks in, and you know, we're all sitting on these little benches that have mats on them. And she sits this bucket, like a clear bucket of dirty water, right in the middle. And she sits on her cushion, and she doesn't say a word. And I can't tell you how much time went by, but it was probably 12, 15, 16, 17 minutes. Eventually, all the dirt in that bucket and the soot settled to the bottom, and the water was crystal clear. And she said, this is how the monkey mind settles down. And that's what our minds do. So if you're in here and you meditate for 3 to 5 minutes and you think you're doing something, you're not. I'm sorry, but you're not. Not based on these people that have been doing this for 2,500 years. So for me, when I'm sponsoring guys, I do meditate and pray with them, and I've got a guy in here that he and I meet in here on Tuesdays, and we started at 4 minutes, and every week he and I meet on Tuesday, and we go up 1 minute, and I think we're up to like 9 minutes now. I think next week we're going to hit double figures, because that's the amount of time it takes for everything to settle down. Each individual is different. So I encourage you to investigate meditation. It is a vital piece to all of this, but prayer. When my father was dying and my marriage was falling apart and I was in the fetal position in my friend Lindsay's guest bedroom, I said the most sincere prayers, again, very short and to the point, God, please help me. And I remember talking to my mentor, and I asked him and what was going on. And he asked me, he goes, Tarek, have you checked in on the sincerity of your prayer life as you go through these trials and low spots? And I said, man, it's like, there's a begging quality to my prayers, but there's also this feeling or imagined feeling of being safe and protected as long as I stay there. And he said, that is mercy, and that is beautiful. And so I've noticed that when I go through the trials and low spots of life, that the sincerity of my prayer life increases as well. And sincerity and care with a capital C are very important. Do I care enough to pray and meditate? Do I care enough to work with others? Do I care enough to get a home group? Do I care enough to go to group conscience? Do I care enough to develop a network of men and women that care about me and will tell me the truth regardless of how it's going to make me feel? And the last thing before I hand it over to Brandon, you know, I moved here to take a job that didn't work out, but I met this amazing woman who I have now fallen in love with, and we live together. And, you know, I don't have any of my own children. I'll be honest, there's a part of me that's never wanted my own children, but I was a good step-parent in my last relationship. But I've struggled with the little one. I think it's safe to say that, you know, there were times where he didn't care for me and I was struggling, but I was in love with his mom. And I got some wonderful advice one time. And the man told me, as long as your love for mom outweighs your frustration with the little one, you stick out. You keep going. And I kept praying. And I would ask God, you know, open my heart. You know. And I don't know when it happened, but like 3 to 4 months ago, I began to fall in love with this little boy. And I've been sitting up here this weekend looking forward to when I can see this little boy again. And that happened because of the spiritual dimensions of steps 10 and 11. Discussing with other people. Paying attention to myself. Praying about it with sincerity. My heart being present. Knowing why I'm doing these practices to be whole as a human being, because we're not. We can hopefully maybe get there one day. So that's all I got on 10 and 11.
Practice.
Oh.
We're here talking about practice. Not a game.
Anyone? Spiritual success is gained by daily cultivation. If you practice for the day, you have won. If you are lazy for the day, then you have lost. Self-cultivation is at the heart of spiritual attainment. Gaining insights and ability is not a matter of grand statements, dramatic initiations, or sporadic moments of enlightenment. Those things are only highlights in a life of consistent activity. Whatever system of spirituality you practice, do it every day. If it is prayer, then pray every day. If it is meditation, then meditate every day. If it is exercise, then exercise every day. Only then will you be able to say that you are truly practicing spirituality. This methodical approach is reassuring in several ways. First, it provides you with a process and a means to maintain progress, even if that particular day is not inspiring or significant. Just a practice is already good. Secondly, it gives you a certain faith. If you practice every day, it is inevitable that you will gain from it. Thirdly, constant practice gives you a certain satisfaction. How can you say that to yourself that you have truly entered a spiritual path unless you can look back at years of daily practice and comfort in the momentum that it has given you? God, I ask that you give me guidance and strength in all these books and all these pages that I've got marked and tabbed, and allow me to speak and sound really cool while I'm doing it, so that these people can understand what I intend to transmit, or what you intend to transmit about steps 10 and 11. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childness of it. This dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accomplished by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. We have come to believe He would like us to keep our head in the clouds with Him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. Bless you. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. If you've been here for a little while and you've been meditating for a little while and you've been praying for a little while and you've had an experience with whatever this power is, we'll just call it God for the sake of ease of three letters and all that stuff. If you started to have an experience of that, you can get so geeked out on it that that's all you want to do, right? And then you explore it and you explore it in a deeper way and you go out and you take classes and you get trained in these different modalities of existence and spiritual enlightenment and you get way out there. And people start thinking you're a little bit weird. A little more weird than they used to think you were. And it's fun. And it's great. And I've done it. And it's wonderful. And I recommend everybody go way the fuck out there. Because it's fun. I mean, it's like, it's so cool. Because like, the depths of steps 10, 11, I don't even know where I'm really going to separate them in this conversation. It's like, it's just this thing. Right? That you get to go, like, connect with everything. But it's my experience that the further I go out there, the more it brings me back here, right? So I, just for fun, I was going through my phone. So this is as far back as my phone goes. It went back to 4:20 p.m. On Monday. And I counted all of the phone calls that I received from somebody in recovery or called somebody in recovery since Monday at 4:20. And there were 67 calls. 67 phone calls in, what is that, 6 days? And the majority of those are incoming calls. What's happened as I've walked this path is that I've gained a degree of usefulness to my fellows, right? I've gained a degree where the makeup of Brandon that you see before you has become useful to other people, and they draw upon my experience. And I wish I could tell you that they only call because I've reached a spiritual enlightenment where this stuff, I just magically know the answer. But the truth of it is that the reason why they're calling and because I can give them guidance is I've fucked a lot of stuff up over the years, right? And usually where I'm most effective is in the areas that I've screwed up. So I used to be in the commercial construction world. And what I learned about being in the commercial construction world is that if you want to become an expert in something, go mess it up, right? So I can tell you all sorts of things about asphalt and clay and flashing and masonry and roofing and insulation and window details and like, because I've really screwed these up, like to the tune of like hundreds of thousands of dollars of screw ups, right? But I learned from all of those experiences and it afforded me the ability to not screw them up again. And I could talk intelligently about those to other people whenever I saw these things coming up, to the point where in my current job, I'll point some flaws out on some construction installations. And then people get all angry that I put it in a report. And then they bring me to a job site and they want to have this argument with me and show me how I don't know what I'm talking about. And I just let them talk and they talk and talk and talk and talk and they point out all these things. And then I ask like two questions and they realize, oh, he might know what he's talking about, right? And the spiritual realm is really that way too, is that you know, if you want to know about meditation, go talk to somebody that's been meditating for a while. Want to know about prayer? Talk to somebody that doesn't just have a formal prayer life where they get in this total, like, I've had sponsees, I've given them instructions that every prayer that you say over the course of the next week must have a cuss word in it. And the reason is because they were so formal in their prayer that they couldn't communicate with God. They weren't, My favorite question. What if your thoughts were prayers? What if your thoughts were prayers? That's scary. That's real fucking scary. No. I wanted to emphasize that because that's a great response. The first time I asked that question was my favorite response. There was some guy in the back of the room that said, "Well, then those would be some pretty fucked up prayers." And I said, "Thank you." All right, so let's just say for a second that your thoughts are prayers. Would you endeavor to clean up your thoughts? The 10th and the 11th step, they talk about this thing called vision, right? They talk about this thing called creating our ideals for our life, right? For our best life, for the life that we want, right? I spent the better part of 5 years exploring the possibility that my thoughts were prayers and that I created my own reality based on my thoughts. And I really got into this stuff, and it was great, and it was knowledge, right? It was knowledge that this is possible, but I couldn't do anything about it. So I explored some more, and I found some ways where you can do some forms of therapy that go in and clean up some of that. And got even further out there, right? And probably pulled back from the fellowship a little bit, but because I thought that I could maybe, if I go so far out there, that I could help some other people that were way out there too, right? But the thing that I realized is that there's not really a place that I can go to. There's not really a fellowship that's ready-made for a spiritual experience like Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous. So it pulled me back here. And what it's done is it's allowed me to keep my head way out there in the clouds, but the better part of my life, the more magical part of my life is in the relationships that I have and the relationships that I interact with and the way that I get to experience all of you in a deeper way as a practice of the 10th and the 11th step. And that I get to compare notes with people, and I get to do these things in a group of people that are also traveling a spiritual path. Are some of them farther on the path than me? I don't know. Am I farther on the path than others? I don't know. Is my God bigger or smaller than anybody else's? I don't know. But we compare notes and we kick ideas around. But here's the thing that I know is that if I don't spend any time exploring the possibility that God is bigger, God will never be bigger. If I don't explore the possibility that all of you are God, just like I'm God, not all of God, but part of, then I'm not going to value the relationships I have with the people around me. If I start to understand at a much deeper level that everything is connected and everything's important and nothing's important at all, there's not a single person in this moment that's in this room that we could have this energy field of people that we currently have if a person was missing. But if that person was missing, we would still have an energy field, right? The spiritual realm and exploration is fun, but you know, what's the point of it all? The point of existence is existence itself, and to participate in that experience of existence. And so what's really neat to me is that we've got a basic spiritual set of principles and steps that we can go through that can deepen our relationship with whatever that existence is. And the more times I go through it, and the more times I explore it, and the more times I clean up the troubles of my past, and the more that I access the inner workings of my mind and see the thoughts for what they are. Doesn't mean I can stop them. Doesn't mean I can control them. But see them for what they are, right? It is very rare that anybody calls me and they get anything other than a positive response from me when they ask me, how are you doing? I live in a very positive place. As I told some other people, it's really fun in here. There's a lot of fun stuff going on. The awareness of my thoughts, the awareness of my presence, the awareness of my interactions with people, and the acknowledgement of my limitations. I'm pretty good at busting up somebody's 10-step call when they call me and they're all bothered about something. I'm pretty good about like giving them some perspective and twisting it around so that they can see it from a different point of view, which is what I think the purpose of receiving a 10-step call is. But sometimes, even maybe this week, let's say on Wednesday, you get a phone call from somebody and they're in the middle of a spot of bother. And what they share with you, you kind of agree with their perspective, right? But that's not why they called. They didn't call for you to agree with them. What they called you for was to get relief from what they're experiencing. And so in this particular call, what I did is we out loud went through a piece of inventory. And we started busting it up. Okay, we know what column one is. We know what column two is. Who are you in this situation? How does this affect your self-esteem? How does it affect your pride? Go all through the seven areas of self. What's the thing that we do between steps, columns three and four? We say a prayer, we do some things, there's some realizations that happen. Okay, now let's go through the fourth column. Get to the end of the call, I said, how did we do? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that was the right answer. The person reports back, I'm not as fired up, but I'm still not okay. I'm like, okay, well, are we able to move on? And he said, yeah, thanks. And then he got off the phone, right? But it's that interaction, right? That it's that ability to know that I don't have access to, because I'm a story. Somebody asked me advice. What they get is a story. Okay, they may or may not get the answer that they're looking for out of the story. This is years ago. I was at a meeting, and this girl came up to me, and she was struggling with do I take this job or do I take this job? And so I tell her a story, and she looks at me and she goes, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that? Just then one of my sponsees goes by and I said, hey, Nathan, when you ask me what you should do, what do you get back? And he goes, oh, he does some Yoda shit where he tells you some sort of story and you're supposed to figure it out. And she goes, that's what he just did. And he goes, well, what are you supposed to do? She says, well, I'm supposed to take this job. And he goes, well, then it worked. And he walked away. Right? That's the world's experience of Brandon, and that's how Brandon experiences the world, right? You may have a different method that works for you. But the key is that if you don't ever explore steps 10 and 11, you'll never know, right? I mean, it's this abyss that, like, I know a couple of you, and I know you've been watching me because I've seen the way that you've been watching me. If you watch me up here, you'll see spirit working in me. I'll grab something. I'll look at something. I'll look at it. I'll read two lines. I'll shut it. I'll go somewhere else. I'm led by whatever this thing is to do stuff, and my life's pretty cool. I just kind of float around and act weird, and everybody thinks, oh, that guy's weird over there. What's he doing outside? He looks like he's dancing by himself in the rain. What? Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he's chasing bees away or something. I don't know. But the point is that you can't experience the 10th and the 11th step without doing all the prior steps. And you will never find the bottom or the top, whichever direction you're going. The limits of the 10th and the 11th step are infinite. You know, get this. We in mankind have never been able to, with all of our technology, all of our knowledge, all of our combined efforts and powers, we've never been able to create something out of nothing as little as a fly. We cannot create anything out of nothing. But the universe is taking care of creating flies and flowers and all of us and everything in it. So why would I think that just 10 minutes of meditation in the morning is enough? Or just a couple prayers is enough? Or that three letters is enough to describe whatever that is? Right? We're going to call this thing God, and that's going to encompass everything that God is. A little limiting, don't you think? Because here's what I know. I'm going to explore God for this entire lifetime, all the lifetime beyond that, and all the returns. If you don't believe that's possible, fine. I don't care, because it's my experience. It's my belief. It's my understanding. I have proof and knowledge that all that, what I just said, is possible and accurate. You want to argue about it? Fine. I don't need you to believe what I believe. I don't need you to experience reality the way that I experience. The important thing that you might want to do is explore what reality is. And these two steps give you that ability. And that's really all I have to say.
All right. Let's come back in 15 minutes and wrap this bad boy up.